Parents, have you ever lost sight of a child? Like, you know that moment. Maybe it was at a park or in a mall or at a soccer game, and suddenly they're right beside you, and then you look back and they're gone. And like, you know that feeling, like you get short of breath, your heart starts racing, your eyes are scanning everywhere, you're thinking my wife's gonna kill me, and you're not just slowly sauntering around hoping to bump into your child. You're desperately searching for them. You're moving. You're calling out their name. You're asking people if they've seen them. Because when someone you love is lost, you go looking for them. And I think every parent understands that feeling, that urgency and the longing and the determination that I must find my child. And what's interesting is this morning we're going to be looking at a story that Jesus tells us in Luke 15. And it begins with this exact idea. And it's not because the father has necessarily lost his child, but because the child has lost sight of his father. So I've called this message, Come Home. And what makes this story powerful isn't ultimately what the sons do, but it's what the father does. If you've heard the story before, if you recognize the passage, you probably know it as the prodigal son. And your Bibles probably even tell you that it's the prodigal son. But I just want you to know that those little headings did not exist in the original text. For any history buffs here, the chapters didn't get inserted until the 1200s. The verse numbers didn't get added until 1551. And then somewhere along the line, people thought, let's start adding titles. And the problem with that is when you see it and you read it and you see, oh, the prodigal son, then naturally our attention goes to the younger son, the one who rebels. But after reading it again and again and again and sitting with it this week, I wonder if a better title for this would be The Loving Father. Because it's the father who is the hero of this story. Everything that we're about to see is going to revolve around him, and everything reveals his heart. Because whether or not the son runs far away, or whether or not the son stays close to home but yet still misses the father's heart, it's the father who keeps moving toward them. So the younger son, he takes off. The older son, he stays home and becomes bitter. One's lost through rebellion, one's lost through religion. One runs away from the father and one stays near but misses the heart of the father. But in both cases, the father continues to go to them. And I think that's one of the reasons this story has endured for thousands of years. Because one of the questions I love asking as I'm reading scripture is, why did this story get preserved? Why did it get put in scripture? And of course, it's God-inspired, God-breathed, but why did this last? Why is it so important to be part of this? And why has it endured for thousands of years and has been retold by generation after generation after generation? And I believe it's because people see themselves in it. For 2,000 years, people have seen themselves in this story. Jesus' words come alive. Because we all know what it's like to wander, to kind of lose our way. We all know what it's like to carry shame with us, wonder if we're enough. We know what it's like to feel distant from God. And every one of us knows what it's like to carry burdens that just wear us down. Which is why this story fits so perfectly with the invitation that we've been exploring throughout this series, which is Matthew 11. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. What if one of the reasons we're weary, one of the reasons we're burdened and exhausted, is because we're carrying stories about ourselves that God never intended us to carry? We're carrying stories that say you're not enough, Let's say you're a failure, you're forgotten, you're too far gone. Or maybe we're carrying stories that we have to earn God's approval, prove ourselves, we have to perform. What if that's the burden we've been carrying? And what if this morning Jesus is inviting you to take that and lay it down? So if you have your Bibles, your Bible app, and you want to follow along, we're in Luke chapter 15. And just before we get to verse 11, the very first verse in this chapter, Jesus tells his story, and Luke gives us a little context. He says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.'" So right away, we have two groups. We have the sinners and we have the religious people, the rebels and the rule followers, the younger brothers, the older brothers. But pay attention, because Jesus is speaking to both of these groups. And so he tells a story about two sons, one who runs away, one who stays at home, but both of them are lost. So as we listen to Jesus' story, I want us to actually read the whole thing. I'm going to go through verses 11 to 32, because I think the story is so familiar to us that we often assume we know it, but we miss out on some of the details and nuances. So I want you to listen carefully, because I think there's three stories being told. There's the younger son's story, there's the older son's story, and there's the father's story. And by the time we're finished, I want you to consider this one question: which story are you living? So let's read. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father, interrupting his son, said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked, 'What's going on?' 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry, refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" May God bless the reading of his word. What an incredible story. And yet, I wonder if we've heard it so many times that we've stopped noticing what's actually happening. Because when most people read this story, we see it as one story. The rebellious son who leaves home, kicks his dad to the curb, loses it all, and comes back. But there are three stories being told: the younger son's story, the older brother's story, and the father's story. And what fascinates me is that all of these characters see reality differently. They're all living a different story. The younger son has a story that he's telling himself. The older son has a story that he's telling himself. And yet the father has a completely different story that he's trying to tell both of them. So let's start with the younger son. The younger son comes and asks for his inheritance. Like, even in our culture, that's bold. Like, to go to your dad while he's still living saying, "Hey, can I have my share of what you're going to give me when you're gone?" And in that culture, it was essentially saying, "I wish you were dead. Like, you are dead to me." It's shocking. It's disrespectful. For the father, it's got to be heartbreaking. And yet somehow the father agrees and gives it to him and lets him go. So the son takes the money, he leaves home, and he just squanders everything. He just blows through it all. And eventually he finds himself feeding the pigs, hungry, alone, broken, so much so that he's envious of what the pigs were eating. But finally, when he comes to his senses, he realizes, "I need to go home." But before he goes home, something happens. He begins rehearsing a speech. He begins telling himself a story. And this is what he says: "Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." So stop there for a moment and think about that. He's already saying, "I'm no longer worthy." That's the story that he's telling himself, because he knows what he's done. He understands his lived reality, what he's told his father, but he's starting to carry this story of, "I'm not worthy." It's not, "I made a mistake," but it's, "I am a mistake." It's not, "Oh man, I sinned." It's, "I'm no longer worthy." And his failure became his identity. He believed that's who he now was. And if we're honest, I think we know what that feels like. Like, we take something that we've done, where we've fallen short and messed up, and we turn it into these stories that we carry with us that define who we are. A failed marriage becomes, "I'm a failure." A bad decision becomes, "I'm damaged." A season of wandering becomes, "God could never use me." A struggle becomes, "I'm too broken." The younger son isn't just carrying a regret. He's carrying a story. And the story is, "I am no longer worthy." And maybe some of us came into church today carrying the same story. Maybe not the exact same circumstances. Maybe you haven't squandered an inheritance yet or found yourself feeding pigs, but you have been telling yourself a story about who you are, about your worth, about your failures, about your future. And if we're not careful, we can begin to believe that the worst thing we've done is the truest thing about us. The younger son had convinced himself that his failure had changed his identity. "I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." But think about it this way. Who told him that? Like, we don't see in the story that the father ever told him that. We don't see in the story that anyone else told him that. The father's not saying, "If you mess up, you're not my son." The father's not saying, "Take your inheritance, but you've lost your place in the family." The son told himself that story. And isn't it amazing how often we do the same thing? we tell ourselves stories that God isn't telling. Stories that might even sound spiritual, sound true. Stories that we've repeated in our minds so many times that we've stopped even questioning them. God could never use me. God, I'm too broken. I've messed up. If people really knew me, if they know what I've done or said or thought, if they knew what I struggle with. And eventually these stories, they become our burdens, the burdens that we carry, which is exactly why I think it connects so powerfully to Matthew 11, the invitation of Jesus that says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened. Which story are you living? What if one of the heaviest burdens we carry is a story about ourselves that God never intended us to carry? Because shame is exhausting. Pretending is exhausting. Trying to outrun your past is exhausting. And the younger son, he comes to the end of himself and he's just exhausted from carrying the shame and the regret and carrying this false identity. But then something amazing happens. He works up the courage to start walking home, and while he's rehearsing this story in his head, the father sees him. And the father runs to him. He embraces him. The father must have been paying attention, peeking out the window, standing on the porch every so often, and he runs to him. And before the son can prove anything, prove that he's turned his life around, made things right, the father moves toward him. And the son begins his speech. Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer to be worthy to be called your son. And before he can even finish his speech, before he can negotiate his way back into the family, the father interrupts him. He doesn't debate him, lecture him, shame him. Instead, he's like, quick, bring the best robe, put it on him. Grab a ring, put it on him. Get sandals on his feet. And I was thinking, what do each of these things represent, symbolize? And I realized each one of those things symbolizes son, son, son. The son saying, I'm no longer worthy, and the father saying, you're still my child. You're still my boy. The son is living one story, but the father is telling another. And that's the tension of this entire parable. This entire story that Jesus is sharing, because he's inviting us to question, which story will we believe? Which story will the son believe? And before we're too hard on the younger brother, Jesus introduces us to the older brother. So here's the older son's story. So while the younger brother is lost far from home, the older brother is lost right in the middle of the father's house. He never leaves. He stays. He works. He obeys. He does everything right. If the younger brother is the obvious sinner, well, then the older brother is the model citizen. He does things by the book, the way it should be, like a good firstborn. Right, Landon? He's the kind of son every parent would want, responsible, dependable, hardworking, faithful. And yet, when he hears that his brother has come home and that his father has thrown a party for him, he becomes furious. He's livid. Why? Well, because he has a story too. Listen to what he says. He says, all these years I've been slaving for you. I've never disobeyed your orders. And the word that jumps out to me is slaving. All these years, I've been slaving for you. He's not saying I've been serving you, I've been helping you, I've been participating on the family farm. It's like, I've been slaving. And again, the same question we need to ask that we did with the younger brother is, who told him that story? Did the father call him a slave? Not that we know. Did the father say, work harder, maybe someday you'll earn a place in this family? Perform and I'll love you? No, it was the older brother who convinced himself of this story. And I'm sure it was a story that's been playing in his head over and over and over. When his brother took off to live life to its fullest, squandering his wealth, and he's staying at home saying, I've done this. This hits close to home because I have an older brother, and I fit the younger brother quite well, and my brother fits the older brother quite well. And he's taken on the family company, and he does things by the books, and sometimes looks at me and says, what? You're allowed to do those things? And I'm like, absolutely. And it's interesting because I know we've had the raw, honest conversation before that he struggles with this older brother syndrome. I've worked, I've obeyed, I've earned, I deserve, and now my father owes me. And while the younger brother's believing he's no longer worthy because of his failures, the older brother's believing he is worthy because of his self-righteousness. And both are missing the heart of the father. Both are trying to earn what can only be received. One is lost through rebellion and the other is lost through religion. I'm doing everything right. One through bad deeds, one good through good deeds. But both are carrying a burden. And I think this is where a lot of us find ourselves, because if we're honest, many of us have spent years trying to earn what God has already given. We think if I pray enough, if I read my Bible enough, if I serve enough, if I volunteer enough, if I'm a better husband or wife, if I'm a better parent or Christian, then maybe God will finally be pleased with me. I'll be enough. I'll be accepted. But all of that is exhausting. And that's exactly why Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. And I will give you rest. Because performance is exhausting. Keeping score is tiring. Living like a servant when you're actually a child is exhausting. And that's exactly what the older brother's doing. He's standing outside of the party, looking in. He's angry. He's bitter. He's keeping score. He's convinced that he's been overlooked, treated unfairly, been forgotten. All the while the party's happening behind him. But then the father once again does something remarkable. Just like he ran out to meet the younger brother, it says that he goes out to meet the older brother. And I love that because the father, he's throwing this party, he's excited, but he still sees the older brother. He's like, hey, he's not part of this. And he goes out, he moves toward him because the father loves both sons. The rebellious son, the religious son, the one who ran away, the one who stayed home. The father goes toward both. He notices both. He loves them both. And then he says these beautiful words. He says, my son, you are always with me. And everything I have is yours. What a statement. You are always with me. And everything I have is yours. You thought you had to earn it. It's yours. You thought I was holding out on you. It's yours. You see, the older brother has a story. But again, the father has a different story. And just like the younger brother, the older brother's faced with a choice. Which story will he believe? And this is where we finally begin to see the heart of the father. Because while the younger brother has a story, the older brother has a story, the father has a story too. And this is where Jesus brings us to the heart of the parable. Because what fascinates me is that the father sees both sons completely differently than they see themselves. The younger son saying, I'm no longer worthy. But the father says, bring the robe, bring the ring, bring the sandals. The son says, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And the father says, you are still my son. The father says, my son, you're always with me. And everything I have is yours. While the older brother says, I've been slaving for you all these years. Like, there's this disconnect. And it's amazing that you can grow up in the same house and be so different from one another, and you can have the same parents and feel like have these different memories and perspectives. But what we have to understand is the Father is trying to invite both of them into a better story, a truer story. While these two guys are trying to figure things out on their own, the Father's in the middle just simply saying, guys, you're missing it all. The Father is trying to tell them and show them this story where their identity isn't determined by their failure or by their performance, but a story where their identity is determined by the love of the Father. Welcome home. It's all yours. And I think this is where this story becomes our story, because every single one of us is living some kind of story. Maybe yours is more like the younger brother. You've messed up, you've wandered, you've rebelled, you've made mistakes. Or maybe your story is like the older brother. And you're like, yeah, I've worked hard for this. I've proved myself. I'm keeping everybody happy. I'm earning my worth. I have to be enough. But then Jesus cuts through the middle and says, you know what? Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, because both sons are weary. One son's weary from running. The other is weary from striving. Both need rest. Not a physical rest, but a soul rest. The kind of rest that comes when you stop trying to be your own savior. The kind of rest that comes when you stop trying to earn what God has already freely given you. The kind of rest that comes when you finally believe what the Father says about you. And maybe that's the question Jesus is asking you today, is whose story are you living? So how does this story end? Well, if you noticed, it ends unresolved. Jesus doesn't give an ending to it. We never find out what the older brother does. The story just ends. Because I believe at this point, Jesus is handing the story to us. He's handing the stories to the religious leaders who are around, to the sinners who are around. And he's saying, how's this going to end for you? Will the older brother come into the party? Will he trust his version of the story, or will he trust his father's version of the story? Will the younger son continue living like he's unworthy, or will he receive the father's embrace? Jesus leaves the question open because it's now our question. Whose story are you living in? Your story or the father's? The one you've been telling yourself for weeks, months, maybe even years? Or the story that you keep hearing the Father whisper to you, saying you are loved, you belong? Because one story says you're not enough, and the other says you are loved. One story says you have to earn it, and the other story says it's already yours. One story says you are what you've done, and the other says, you're my son, you're my daughter, and you belong. We all have stories. The younger son had a story, the older son had a story. You have a story. The father has a story. So the question is, which story are you living? Landon, I'm going to throw you on the spot. Come up here, bud. All right. I told him I wanted to call him up, so I was happy when I saw him stay here, but this is my son, Landon, and I won't say anything yet. Do you know that you're loved? Yeah. Yeah, that's good. All right, whew. Do you ever wake up in the morning wondering if you're part of the family? Do you ever feel like you have to earn our love? No. Or a place in your house? That's good. It's because Landon is my son. Like, he's my boy. I would do this with my daughter too, but she is deathly afraid of being up here and showing any kind of affection. So I don't think she would let me do this. But what I want you to see is that he doesn't have to earn it. He's not wondering if he's my son. He's not wondering if he's loved. He just knows that, like, I love him. I care for him. I want him here. And there's a beautiful illustration that I saw another pastor do where he invited his daughter up to talk about the relationship and the intimacy between the father. And he has her hug him, and I'm going to make Landon hug me. Yeah. But he asks the question, is this what your relationship with your heavenly father looks like? Like, picture it. Like, because that, like, think about how proud we are of our kids, how much we love them. And then just think for a moment how much the heavenly father must love us. Whether or not they've been a goober, they've rebelled, they've done things against your wishes, or whether or not they're striving to perform, I love him. Thanks, bud. And I just wanted to end with that because maybe that's what some of you need to hear today. It's not try harder, be better, perform more, prove yourself. What I believe you need to hear today is that you belong, you matter, you are loved, and the Heavenly Father wants to embrace you and give you the rest you need. So stop living in your story, stop carrying the burden, stop striving, stop performing. Stop trying to earn what the Father has already given. Just listen to the voice of Jesus as he says, come to me, come home, and rest in your Heavenly Father's love, the love that has been moving toward you all along. That's the invitation of Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for your love. I thank you that when we have wandered, that you have moved toward us. I thank you that when we are carrying shame, you meet us with grace, grace that we do not deserve, but yet you freely give. And I thank you that when we are striving to earn what could never be earned, you simply remind us that we are your children. Father, I just want to pray for those who resonate with the younger son's story today. Help them know that they are not far too far gone, that they are loved, and that your arms are open wide. And for those who resonate with the older brother's story, free them from the burden of striving, from the burden of performance. Remind them that they don't have to earn what you have already given. Help us to stop living in the stories we tell ourselves and to start living in the story you speak over each one of us, that we are in Christ and we are loved, and that in Christ we belong, and that in Christ we can finally find rest for our souls. So God, help us to respond in worship this morning. Help us to receive your love, trust your voice, follow you more closely as we continue to take our next steps towards you. God, we pray all of this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.